are now listening to the Good Morning Show on WBOK 1230 AM.
Welcome back to the Good Morning Show, Oliver O.T. Thomas, the early bird, and all of our listeners and callers out there. Man, as always, want to thank what Janella Newsom and Ro Brown do with news and sports. Thank you so much, man, just to have Janella and Ro. And you know, I say it often. You know, I know the early bird and Ro are always in the middle of conflict. I just think that's because the early bird wishes he could be Ro. And I mess with Ro a lot, but they're probably not many more informed people, historians in our community. And he's a lot bigger than just sports, man. I thank God for the brother. And thank God that he grew up in the Lower Nine like I did. He set the record for walking across that pipe on the Tupelo Canal. Of course, he was running from Jesse and Robert Charles and them. He won't tell you that. But so he had to make it across that canal. He wasn't taking his time if they would have got it. But, hey, man, but back to back to the message at hand, man, right here with Eve Abrams. How you doing?
I'm good, Oliver. How are you?
Man, if I was any better, I'd be you. You know how that goes. And Miss Sheila Phipps, the mother McKinley Phipps, in the studio right now. Stories from the system. Eve, we got another clip we're going to set up.
Yeah. And then
the hits just keep on coming.
Ooh, yeah, this is one of my favorites. Yeah. So I met Sheila through Ben, I think.
Ben, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ben over at the Meadlow Center for New Orleans Studies. I hope I'm not butchering that. Mm-hmm. Who's working on a project called States of Incarceration. Mm-hmm. And actually, I came to Sheila through her artwork. I approached Sheila and asked her if we could use her artwork on our website for Unprisoned, because Sheila – well, you want to explain it, Sheila?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I met Eve, like she said, through Bend. And what it is that I paint portraits of inmates. I started this project called Injustice Exhibition, where I paint portraits of inmates who've been wrongfully accused. And I started this project because of my son's incarceration. And he's been incarcerated for the last 16 years for crime he didn't commit.
Yeah, the name is a prominent name.
Mm-hmm. McKinley Phipps, yeah,
Phipps, yes.
Better known as Mac,
yes.
Former No Limit Records,
yes.
A rapper.
Rapper, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So talk about your paintings before we get into. Well, no, let's get the clip first, and then we'll open up the conversation. Lee, cue it up, man.
What do you do when a member of your family is locked up for a crime you are sure he didn't commit? Sheila Phipps paints. This is Unprisoned. I'm Eve Abrams.
That's the guy that was exonerated. I painted the feet of him walking out of prison after 25 years.
Sheila Phipps points to a picture of Earl Truvier. It's part of her Innocence exhibition series, a collection of paintings, mostly portraits, of wrongfully incarcerated men. She points to another.
This young man here, Warren Scott, was a musician, and I think he's been in prison, I want to say. 16, 17 years or something like that. Raw umber and burnt sienna is the color of the skin tone. What happened is they photographed the picture in jail, while they're in jail, and they give me the photograph, and I take the photograph and I paint from that photograph. I met his parents. His parents was, I don't know, that's their only child. And I remember his mother would come, and she just looked so broken. She and her husband, they always there together. And, you know, she hardly hold her head up. It just looked like it was, to me, a struggle for them to just walk in this place. They're both professional people. I'm sure they raised their son, you know. I mean, he was in college and all that. So, you know, and for this to happen, it just broke their heart, and they're still working on this case.
We have to talk about one more portrait.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My son's. Yeah, that's my son, Mac. I started this project because of him.
Sheila's son is McKinley Phipps. Back in the late 90s, McKinley, whose stage name is Mac, was a rising music star signed by Master P to No Limit Records, alongside rap luminaries like Snoop Dogg and Mystical. That's him rapping. On February 21st, 2000, Phipps was performing in a club in Slidell when a man in the audience was shot and killed. Phipps was arrested hours after the killing. The lyrics from this song, Murder, Murder, Kill, Kill, were used at trial to prove Phipps was a hardcore gangster. But they came from a chant Phipps' father taught him, one he'd learned while serving in the army in Vietnam. As a first offender with no criminal record, Phipps was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 30 years in prison. He was 22 at the time. His mother, Sheila Phipps, was at the club that night. She knew he didn't do it.
One day I was just praying. I was like, Lord, there's got to be something I could do, you know, to bring awareness to what's going on with these guys. And I was thinking, I'm an artist. And I said, well, maybe I can paint a portrait of my son and maybe do exhibits and talk about his story. But as I'm saying this, I'm like, why am I stopping with my son? I might as well just do a series of other guys. Because, see, Maggis is a well-known rapper, but I just didn't want it to be just him. There's a lot more other people out here in the same situation. Because before this happened, I never would have thought. Well, I guess it's hard for me to imagine that these things is going on. You know, until this happened to my son, it really opened my eyes. It really, really opened my eyes. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Sheila paints in a small room in the back of her house in Miro, which her husband bought after the storm. Her youngest of her six children still lives with them. He's a trombone player. Both Sheila and her husband are artists.
I kind of went away from it once I got married. So when the kids was running around, I just, you know, I had to get back to do something to ease my mind. So my husband was working all the time, and I'm like, you know what, I got to paint so I can focus. That's the only way I cope with it. It was rough.
You listen to records while you paint?
Oh, yes, indeed. I have to. I have to.
So what's on the turntable?
I don't know what I got up there. What's his name over here? I like him.
Elton John?
Elton John. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. I like that one. Rocket Man. I think I like Rocket Man. I like them all. I miss the earth so much.
I miss my wife. And that rubbed off on her son, even though he was known as a rapper. It's lonely
out in space. He did play Rocket Man. He actually will try to sing it, and he's not a very good singer.
Vernon Cook served with Phipps at Elaine Hunt Correctional Center. They were in the prison's music association together.
The guys that look up to him accidentally walk into the band room and they want to get on the mic and they want to rap, and he's in there playing Rocket Man, Elton John, and he's looking at the young guys that just come into the prison system. He said, "You brothers know what that is?" And they're like, "Hell no, what is that?" He said, "That's a classic. It's Elton John, buddy." Mac is, the warden called him Clark Kent because he's very much like a nerd, but when he gets on that stage, he turns into a great, great MC. Very lyrical, very, very, very smart.
This is one of the reasons why my children all grew up playing music, because they would tell people in interviews that, oh, I remember Mama playing music all day.
It's difficult to calculate exactly how many innocent people are currently behind bars in the United States. One study by the National Registry of Exonerations found that when it comes to imprisoning people that are later proven innocent, Louisiana is in the lead, just after Illinois. Emily Ma heads the Innocence Project New Orleans, which represents people serving life sentences in Louisiana and Mississippi. McKinley Phipps is not one of their clients.
Innocent people get convicted in the criminal justice system. And when we say innocent, we mean somebody who did not do the crime that they are in prison for. Somebody else did the crime that they are in prison for.
Last year, the St. Tammany District Attorney Walter Reed, whose office prosecuted McKinley Phipps' case, decided not to seek re-election and was later indicted on corruption charges unrelated to Phipps' case. According to a Huffington Post investigation, since Reed left office, five witnesses for the prosecution have come forward saying they testified against Phipps under pressure from the DA's office, pressure that often included threats of jail time. Investigative journalists from the Module Justice Project find this significant, since Phipps's conviction by an all-white jury relied solely on eyewitnesses. No forensic evidence linked him to the crime. Phipps's lawyers have taken affidavits from these witnesses and are looking to get his conviction overturned. But St. Tammany's current DA, Warren Montgomery, says no one has yet presented any new evidence to the district attorney's office, nor to the courts. Clearly, Sheila and her family believe in McKinley Phipps' innocence. But innocence can be hard to demonstrate. The system often seems to work on a presumption of guilt, not the other way around. Emily Ma, from the Innocence Project, believes the number of innocent people currently serving time is much higher than what we now understand.
So the advent of DNA testing in the last 20 years, people have increasingly realized that some people who are objectively innocent, completely scientifically proven to have not been the person who did the crime, have been in prison. But DNA cases represent the tip of the iceberg. They are really, you know, what I would call like the canary in the coal mine.
Before my son went to jail, I used to see people be on television fighting, saying, oh, this person didn't do it and this person is innocent. And, you know, you snub them or you dismiss them and like, yeah, whatever. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people deserve to be in prison. There's a lot of criminals out here. But there are a lot of innocent people that sit in jail.
Sheila's received letters from men serving time who write to thank her for her project. In the letters, many openly admit to having committed the crimes they are accused of, but they appreciate her bringing awareness to fellow inmates whom they know to be innocent.
I'm going to tell you, a lot of times I feel like I'm not doing enough, I guess. I do get discouraged and depressed a lot about this whole situation, but when I get a letter like that, it helps me a lot. You know, it encouraged me, put a little smile on my face and tears in my eyes, and it comes at the right time.
Unprisoned is brought to you by WWNO and Finding America, a national initiative produced by AIR with financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Unprisoned's theme music is by Greg Schatz. Our editors are Vicki Merrick and Katie Rechtal. Learn more about Unprisoned at WWNO.org and Facebook.com/Unprisoned. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. This is Unprisoned. I'm Eve Abrams.
Wow, thank you. Another very powerful story, Eve. I've told you this before. I don't know how many awards this series is going to win or when it's going to be in HBO or a Showtime special. But hopefully at some point it will. You say this is one of the more difficult ones for you. And I can see Ms. Phipps. Mm-hmm. And just listening to her voice, the level of sincerity and connection, not just for her son, but just to the injustice there, I could see how that could be.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult. It was moving to me. Yeah, most moving. And yeah. I think it's for exactly the reasons you named, mm-hmm. that clearly mm-hmm. you're entering into this wonderful family and this grave injustice has been done. And it's so obvious, and yet their son is still languishing in prison. It's just so incredibly frustrating.
Sheila Phipps, first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
You and your husband and your family. I have one question, two ways to ask you, especially as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You're an artist.
Yes.
You know, that part of my brain works the same way.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm as good an artist as you, but I like to kind of vision and think about the world and paint it and write about it sometimes. Mm-hmm. What does justice look like to the artist in you? And what does injustice look like?
Injustice.
Both.
As an artist?
Justice and injustice.
Justice and injustice. That's a good question. I never really thought about that. But as an artist, I think we as artists, we are somewhat a activist in our own right. And we're already sensitive, you know, people being an artist. And I think when we watch the world through unjust, I'm going to say unjust first, we want to express ourselves through our art. You know, because I've been to exhibits where artists are expressing themselves about the injustice that goes around in their lives, or the injustice that they see or they experience themselves. And as far as justice is concerned, I don't know. That's a hard question for me to answer, you know, to be honest.
Still working on that picture.
I'm still working on that picture.
I think that's a powerful answer.
I would say Injustice looks like your series of portraits, actually, Sheila.
Yes, and you're right. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that because just recently I was in Tennessee, and I was on a young lady's TV show, and she did. She also did an interview with me about the paintings, and also we had the paintings there and stuff. So with that said, one of the ladies, was the host of the show, was interested in one of the guys, and so now she's going to be helping one of the guys.
504-260-9265. We're continuing our series on prison, stories from the system with Eve Abrams, a producer, writer, documentarian, education, all-around challenger of the system, and Ms. Sheila Phipps, one of our artists, and the mother of Mac, McKinley Phipps. Mac was good.
Yes.
Extremely good. He was smart. He was articulate. He could flow, as they say. How was he holding up?
He's holding up pretty good.
I see him on YouTube. They have this YouTube stuff on him sometimes.
His life. There's a video out on his Then there's a documentary that's coming out on his case. And also, there's two TV series doing documentaries about his case. Right. Yeah, one we already wrapped up and filmed last week, and we're in the process of start filming another show. I don't know if I can talk about it, say the show, but we will be on.
Well, you
shows.
Can say whatever you like. This is real talk. This is real talk for real time.
Well, the first show is it's called True Confessions. It's on the Discovery Channel, Discovery ID Channel. And the second show will be the same producers of the Making of a Murder series.
Yeah.
They're doing a documentary on Max case. Matter of fact, it's going to be their, they're hoping it to be their first show for the season this year, this fall.
Now, you and your husband and you and your family, you guys have used this situation with your son actually to help others.
Yes.
Why?
Yes, we have.
Because so many families, you know, it's difficult enough for them to focus on their loved one.
It's difficult. And the people that I was speaking about in the interview with Eve, you know, when I found out, my son introduced me to Warren Scott, and my son told me about his story, and Warren sent me a letter and told me about it. And then when I met his parents, it just broke my heart, you know. Even though I know, I guess I felt what they were feeling, you know, because they would walk into prison with holding their head down and just being so, you can tell it just broke them, you know. And I guess I was feeling the same way. And then I was just sitting there wondering how many people is sitting here and you know, shouldn't be in.
Well, let me tell people, for someone who understands a little bit about that, when you're in the system, guys who've been in the system, they know who's innocent.
Right.
They know who's guilty. It's like a sixth sense. It's another sense. And sometimes it's not another sense. It's when you can watch how people conduct themselves, you know, how they adjust. You know, they bring their lifestyles with them. And I see where Mac has dedicated, like many other inmates, those, and contrary to what most people think, those people who come in who are innocent, and many get, there are people there who want to help them. Mac has dedicated his life to that.
Yes, yes, he has. Matter of fact, he's a mentor. He's been a mentor since he's been in prison. And I've had a couple of letters of some of the guys who was released from prison, and they sent me letters telling me how Mac helped them change their life because he was one of their mentor. He mentored them, and I have a couple of letters like that.
We can go to lines are lit up right now, man. 504-260-9265. Very powerful continuation of the unprisoned system. That talks just about the injustice that we figured out, and hopefully at some point Ms. Sheila Phipps will paint her picture on justice. But that hasn't, and I agree with you, it's not completed yet.
No, it's not.
Line one, Reverend Calhoun, you're on with Ms. Phipps.
Good morning, and how is everyone this morning?
We're doing fine, Pastor. Thank you.
One of the things that I wanted to bring out about that system that was in St. Tammany Parish that my little nephew was convicted under. the physical evidence when they did the ballistic test to see if he had fired a weapon was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they had actually, a young man confessed to the crime that they said, well, McKinley must be paying him.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to understand that that DA that's in jail now, it should, I mean, every case that he prosecuted
should be overturned.
Should be overturned,
yes.
Reviewed, and brought
that's
back
right.
To look at the real evidence that, and real what was going on in the case.
I agree.
Because, I mean, it's just awful as to how many of our young people. McKinley had never had, I don't know, Sheila, did he ever have a parking ticket?
I think a parking ticket, that's about it. No trouble at all.
So, I don't know. And the jury selection?
Yeah.
I think you had, 10 white males on there?
Yes, it was all.
His celebrity actually worked against him in that case.
Right.
Yes, it did.
Right.
It hurt him. Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I just wanted to bring that out that we do need to look at judges when we elect who judges mm-hmm. are. When we need to go to the polls to make sure that we can put people that will have some type of fairness mm-hmm. when they look at these cases.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Calhoun. I was going to actually get to that point about the system. And Eve, you know, when we see prosecutorial misconduct so often throughout this country, it seems like it works the reverse for the people in the system in terms of getting to justice if something goes wrong, if there's evidence. But for people who are victims of the system, the system breaks down there.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
There seems to be a presumption of guilt on the part of the defendants. And a
even after
mm-hmm.
People come, Troy Davis in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for 9 people to change his testimony and for the state of Georgia to still murder him.
Yeah.
You know, here, McKinley, Phipps, 5 people
yeah.
have changed their testimony mm-hmm. with a prosecutor mm-hmm. Who's in prison for misconduct.
Correct.
And the system still
That's
won't
right.
give us justice.
That's right.
It's very puzzling. It's infuriating. I wish I had an answer for this.
Well, let me tell you what I say. And I was the speaker for the Christian Lawyers Association several years ago. You know, and people are always fascinated with my life. I've tried to be give back now, so I have all my speaking engagements. And I never forget what I told them, you know, especially for folk who want to profess God, Ms. Phipps.
Mm-hmm.
Do they think God is going to let there be justice when he looks and he sees there's no justice?
No,
God isn't going to let a system work
right.
that's unjust.
Mm-hmm.
If you just say there's justice for me and not justice for everyone else.
Right.
And I believe that. We can go back to the lines. Line 2, Carl, you're on with Eve Abrams and Ms. Phipps.
Oh, come on, Viola. Good morning, Ms. Phipps. Good morning, Ms. Abrams.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's just a social worker and me, Dr. King said, where justice or anywhere there's injustice, there's threat to justice everywhere.
Yeah.
And I called to find out who is supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm
mm-hmm.
Father Reverend Calhoun, and I'm an advocate of justice and beyond. Who's supporting you? And is it an innocent project? Who's supporting you? And what kind of support you need from mm-hmm. us to help you? And we've been following the St. Tammany Parish issues, and we got to get your son out of jail.
Right. Yes. Well, right now.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you for that. Right now, Mac Lawyers has filed clemency. And we're waiting on a hearing. So this is where we're at right now, you know. But we need all the support and help. And we had a petition, and I think we had almost over 10,000 signatures in that petition. So right now he's going before the clemency board.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this very compelling story. The family of rapper Mac McKinley Phipps and injustice in the portrait of justice that hopefully will someday be completed, but not yet. After the break, guys.
WBOK 1230 AM, the People's Station.
You are now listening to the Good Morning Show on WBOK 1230 AM.
We're back, man. You know, I enjoy so much about the people who come and share on this show and so much of what we do, man, with the issues that are important not only to New Orleans, but to this world today. You know, globalization has done one thing. It's connected all of us in our pain and our joy and our hopes and our dreams and our visions for what this world is going to be. But with all the prominent guests that I've had, I don't know that I've ever felt a stronger spirit, more comforting spirit than that of Sheila Phipps.
Thank
and
you.
There is something where God has gifted you that it's a level of humanity that is easy to feel from you, Ms. Phipps, but it's also easy to feel your pain and your fight and your battle for justice. And
Thank you for that.
And it's not just about Mac. You're really serious about this for everybody, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm very serious about this. I watch the injustice on, you know, social media and television and throughout my life, you know. I'm older. I'm not going to say how old I am. And I don't know. I just always had a heart after people that I seen was unjust in any kind of way, you know. So it's easy for me to want to help.
But in a way, something. You know, something that you suppressed, the artist, God is he has reignited that artist in you. So something, as hard as it is, something good has come out of this personal tragedy for you.
Yes, something good has come out of this. And when I first started this, which a few years ago, I had no idea it would come to blossom like this. You know, I was just in New York a few months ago with the States of Incarceration, with Eve talking about. It was a big convention, and it was 20 cities all over the country, including Paris, came together to talk about the mass incarceration in the country, in this country as a whole. So I was there with UNO students and also Professor Benjamin
Weber.
Yes, I love Ben. I was there with them. We were representing Louisiana, and it was a very powerful convention, very powerful. I hope, and they're traveling with this convention. They're traveling with the exhibit. My son painting is part of this exhibit. And the exhibit will be traveling for the next 5 years until 2021.
I got to ask you a question before I have a question for Eve. But before I get to that, the music industry, the artist community, are they still tied to Mac and his suffering, or have they moved on?
Yes, they're still tied. Mac has, actually, since this happened, he has a huge following, even overseas. I've gotten messages from Germany, Spain, different parts of the country. It's amazing to me. But, yes, he still had ties to the music. I mean, Mystical helps us, and Fiend and Mia X supports us. It's just so many.
Mia X is just a wonderful soul.
Yeah, she's sweetheart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so many that, you know.
Is Master P still engaged at all? And I know he has his troubles with his brother.
No, not much. You know what I mean? He has his own issues to deal with, you know. But so many of his other friends and from the music, Mia has supported him. You know, what's his name? The DJ, I can't remember his name. Raj Smooth.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good friend of Mac. And so Raj, you know, he's also a supporter of Mac.
Eve, when you look at these series, mostly you're recording them from the victim of the family, or the people who go through the system. But the system is still looms large.
Yeah.
Out there, you know, that system that you're working to expose or bring justice to right now. Now, it seems to operate under the cloud of clemency.
Right.
All the time, no matter what it does. You know, how unsettling is it for you to see that even as you fight for justice, that injustice seems to be protected
Right, like what we were talking about, the St. Tammany.
Yeah, St. Tammany, U.S. attorneys. Yeah. Prosecutorial misconduct seems to be, it's like, we made a mistake. No, we didn't make a mistake, but there's no remedy.
I think the fear that the system isn't working is such a great one. We want to believe in it. We want to believe that there is order in the world, that there's fairness in the world, that we're protected, that we're safe. And so dismantling that system makes us all feel incredibly vulnerable. And I think that's why we resist it. We resist believing that people are innocent, because that would be to admit that the system is not working. But a system is made of people, and people are valuable.
But if you brought that right back to us, I mentioned the system.
Right.
And you're basically saying, I think you're correct, subconsciously, subliminally, we're actually protecting this broken system.
I think we are. I mean, it's created by people, and it's held up by people. It doesn't exist independently of us. It's a creation of humans, of our society.
Ms. Swift, you admitted that. You admitted that there was a side of you in the past you know, you were like, you probably did it.
Yeah, of course. And when this happened to my son, we just assumed that everything was going to be okay because we knew he was innocent. We knew he wasn't the person who did it. But until he was arrested, the day he was arrested, he has not been out of prison for 16 years. And we have been fighting it. But we really believed in the system. We did everything that the police told us to do. Right. You know, we was questioned. Everybody that was with us was questioned. We did everything.
You know, the system actually is a fair one in theory. Being judged by your peers, right?
Yes.
I think the problem is that when we have these preconceived notions about guilt or innocence, and those play a part in how trials actually happen.
I was actually going to get to that. Great segue to Matt. I wrote this down. You said the presumption of guilt, not innocence.
Right.
We're there now, or we've been there for a while? Because I actually...
With the presumption of guilt?
With the presumption of guilt.
I think we've been there.
I think we've been there right now. And I think what the media has done, with market forces, with information, with technology, has made it a lot harder for innocent people to prove their innocence.
Absolutely. I mean, as soon as you...
In the media, we play a role in that.
Oh, yeah. When you accuse someone of a crime, you've planted the seed that this person did it, even before they go to trial, right? So just associating somebody with an act of wrongdoing in your... You've linked those two. I think inherent in the system, there's a lot of room for human failure. Any system we create is only as good as we are, right?
504-260-9265. Unprisoned, stories from the system. We're talking to Eve Abrams, our producer, writer, documentarian, educator, and Ms. Sheila Phipps, the mother of Mac. Oh, gosh, but back then when the No Limit family ruled the rap world, Mac was one of the most promising, top upcoming young rappers. Smart. Could flow. I mean, just listening to him, he was special. He really was. And he had his own sound.
Yes, he does.
And he had a level of, there's some rap I don't understand. Mac had some clarity.
Yes, he does.
You know, Mac knew how to, Mac was hooked on phonics, right?
Right.
You know,
because
some
rappers,
blah, 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 blah. You know, but and the beat is good. But Mac, you're like, okay, yeah, those words are big. I know them. Mm-hmm.
Sheila, is he still making music?
Yes, he is. Actually, he has a band. He formed a band in prison. So,
and I think Rocket Man. If you listen to the words of Rocket Man, that's a powerful song.
Right, it really is, and it was a song I just pulled out of the blue out of my head, really, when Eve was going through my album collection and stuff. So
I remember calling you, Sheila, and saying that I was looking at the lyrics and I couldn't believe how much it had to do with the story. I'm lonely out here in space. When am I going to get home? It really seemed to echo what was going on.
Yes.
You were listening when. Judge Graham Bosworth was on earlier. Of course, he did his work with the Sentencing Commission. He was a former prosecutor. Flipped over to the defense side like a lot of successful prosecutors do. And he talked about, I asked him a question. You know, he hedged it a little bit, but then he didn't ask him. I asked him two questions. I said, is this system just about the money? And he said yes, and then I asked him, is the system racist? He didn't hesitate there. He said yes. Eve, what does that say to the artist in you and to the justice in you?
Oh, It motivates me. Mm-hmm. It angers me, which mm-hmm. I've found to be very motivating. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to get depressed about mm-hmm. what's going on, but I just feel like there are stories to tell. There's work to be done. There are ears to reach. You know, I think a lot of people, like we were just discussing, right. resist thinking about the system being wrong, the system being fallible, because then that would mean we've got bigger problems to deal with.
Eve and Ms. Phipps, why don't we have more judges, more prosecutors, mm-hmm. more even defense attorneys? Because, you know, on the street, a lot of guys will tell you, you know, you're lucky if your defense attorney's on your side.
Right.
A lot of
right.
them say, hey, man, nah, not really. Mm-hmm. You know, we have some great attorneys that always are, but you roll a dice mm-hmm. with your defense attorney. Why yeah. don't more people who are invested their lives in this system, why aren't they courageous enough to say what Judge Bosworth said? Why don't we see more people in the system who will talk privately with us,
but
won't say publicly that this system is racist and unjust?
I mean, the political fallout is my guess. You know, in our state, a lot of judges are elected. Mm-hmm. Our district attorney is elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people want to, you know, give off a certain image so that they mm-hmm. can keep their jobs. That's a hypothesis.
And that brings it right back to us.
Right. What I believe is that they when they're campaigning, they pretty much want to give you whatever you want. They want to speak about these things. Mm-hmm. They want to be an activist out here. But once they get in that office, it seems like everything changed. They go.
That's a powerful statement. And let me say that. I look at my own life. I think you're a victim of that. The system, the beast, is never sated. No matter what you go in with your intentions, once you become that politician, once you become that person, that system works overtime, 110% to consume you and change you. You believe that, Ms. Phipps?
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And I don't, I'm, how should I put this? I know they have to compromise. You know, I know once you get into an office, you have to compromise. There's so many people coming at you in so many different directions. I can't imagine being a politician and have to please so many different people. You know what I mean? Because I can easily go out and campaign to be an activist for this, and I want to help the people. But once I get in that office, you know, and there are people that line my pockets to help me get there, mm-hmm. you know, I got to help these people. They're looking in my face, this one and that one, and pretty much the small people then got lost. And they tell us to go out and vote, and we need to vote. But, I don't know. It's just
no, say it. So you actually believe that the political system has moved away from people?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No hesitation there.
No hesitation.
The little guy doesn't have a chance anymore.
No. They're supposed to be working for us, but they're not. They're working for the powers.
Eve Abrams, you're working hard using your creative vision and talent to at least... I think you said earlier, blow the system up.
I don't know if I said
dismantle. Dismantle. You said dismantle. Said dismantle.
I think that there's a lot of power.
You think we have to start anew to fix this?
I think there's a lot of power in people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I think most people, when they connect with one another's humanity, do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think when we build a system, when you have a machine, and our criminal justice system is a machine, you use it. And it's an adversarial system, and once you're in that system, you want to win. And I think people get caught up in very human emotions, wanting to win a case, irregardless of the truth, wanting to fill the prisons that we have because we have them.
So we've got a minute left. How can people help you and continue this series on prison?
Ooh, well, I am currently trying to raise funds for Unprisoned. You can listen to any of the stories on iTunes or Stitcher on WWNO.org. You can get in touch with me at eve@eveabrams.com. And I'm hoping to continue more stories. I don't have a crowdsourcing campaign at the time, but I might, so stay tuned for that.
And we're going to sit down and do some work on our barbershop and beauty shop series.
I would love it. I would love it.
Conversations from the barbershop and beauty shop. I look forward to that.
Can I say thank you to WBOK? It's been such a pleasure being on the air with you all.
Absolutely. I have a new hero in my life, and her name is Sheila Phipps.
Thank you.
What's next for you, Ms. Phipps? What's next for Matt?
Like I said before, he's his lawyers filed clemency, and right now we're waiting for a hearing. We're waiting on that date.
Well, he's in our prayers. You promised to come back, if nothing else, just to keep us updated with your work and with your artistry?
I will definitely come back, and I'm going to come back with Mac, too. Believe you me.
So let it be written.
Yes,
so let
indeed.
It be done. We did it. We did our best to make sure that you were awake. The next brother, Chuck Perkins, is going to do his best to make sure that you're conscious. Chuck Perkins, the Conscious Hour, he's going to do it again.